We pray, gracious Heavenly Father, we want to commend ourselves to you tonight, knowing that we're not in a dire strait where some were that they said in a time of great distress of battle and being overtaken, and where should we turn? But Lord, we're in even a greater battle, and who should we turn but to you, knowing that the battle is on, Lord, engaged in to take possession of lives, and Father, we want you to take possession of our lives. Help us in this study tonight, Lord, to see the dangers that the prophet brought out, which dangers, Lord, we can't escape from because we have not been ordained unto destruction, but rather to life. So, Father, we're looking to you at this hour to help us in the meditation upon thy word, and we'll give you the praise and glory because you will answer our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is number 19, Anointed Ones of the End Time, and hopefully we can finish off tonight. Now, last Sunday we saw that these false prophets who are correctly anointed to gifts and fruit but cannot receive a true revelation of the word are deceived themselves and deceiving others to accomplish two things that are their lot to fulfill or see fulfilled. One, to keep the people in the organizations, as did Jannes and Jambres, when they showed the Egyptians that the leaders of their authoritarian government could produce what Moses produced, thereby lessening or nullifying Moses' vindication so that the people were content to stay there. So today, if all denominational Christian organizations can produce a Malachi 4, at least after a sorts, who needs to hear Elijah? Two, the last group to come out of organization were the Pentecostals. Balaam can well represent them because the last day move should be a departure from their ranks. That is, naturally, they should leave, but they don't. Lutherans left the Catholics, and the Wesleyans left the Lutherans, and the Pentecostals left the Wesleyans, but there'll be no coming out. Now notice it is the Pentecostals like Balaam who are now stopping any and all from coming to the truth because they have cast the stumbling block of idolatry of the Trinity before all Christendom, and they're backed up by their creeds and by the power ministry. As Balaam joined Balak, church and government, the original Nicaea, so today Pentecost is hand in glove in government-sponsored denominational religion to annul and destroy Malachi 4, 5, and 6 and hold down the truth and unrighteousness. With this last day money and sex scandal of the Pentecostals, there is a move to organize a government and approved and government-sanctioned committee who will oversee or police themselves as do doctors and lawyers. How do you like them apples? The doctors, of course, will protect the doctors. If we cut you up and throw you to the dogs, you're tough luck. Too bad, because we're doctors. And they run the government. The government says, please them, we'll back you up. And this is what the ecumenical movement has been trying to do for years, and I think they're going to succeed now, because the IRS will throw its lot with them. And you messed it at the end time. It was the time of Jesus Christ's great birth on earth, that the money changers were condemned, but the taxpayers were literally running everything. That is, the tax collectors. Terrible taxation, terrible greed. So you got that again today. This puts Trinity in headship and forms an integral and devastating part of the beast image. What they're doing now. They're getting closer to it. Could it now be that this is just the right avenue required to give more power to the beast and help ecumenism to take over completely? I think it is myself. It certainly appears so because as the doctor's lobby and the lawyer's lobby can control our government, the preachers with the people's backing can force government to do what no other group can. The reason I say that is because they've got the backing of the people in a church which is esoterical or ascetic, which will be far greater in effect to back preachers than the doctors or lawyers could ever get people to back them. Because people just don't respect doctors that much, and they're kind of feisty with them. You can see all the lawsuits. And people certainly don't respect lawyers. I don't think they respect teachers too much either. But there's a lot of power that the ministry wields over the people. So the people then will back the ministry, which will now have complete government backing. And you can see we're headed for a real strong step. And you'll notice that the plea is to the government now, leave us alone and we'll police ourselves. That's what the weasel said to the chickens. Yeah, Brother Branham has compared these false anointed ones to birds. Specifically, he calls the true prophet an eagle, and the false ones he calls buzzards. He mentioned that they cannot see as the eagle sees. Now he mentions they cannot fly as the eagle flies in paragraph 254 on page, or 251 rather, on page 58. All right. He can't see like the eagles. So what good does it to you to try to jump real high and then can't see where you're at when you're up there? Now, we looked at that last week, of course, and we saw how that was Balaam in there. And they couldn't see the baptism. They couldn't see all those things in there that we know that they're supposed to see, but they simply can't see it. He's screaming and shouting and carrying on, but just speak the word to him, and his folly's made known. Talking about the baptism of the name of Jesus, the being the same yesterday, day, and forever. And he'll say, oh, now just wait a minute. So there you see his feathers are dropping. See, he's all jumped up and prophesying, casting out devils and speaking in tongues and shouting and carrying on, running up and down the floor. But don't try to, where am I getting here? But don't try to follow up there. For he's sure to be made known. Now, we followed on down to where we got to the bottom of page 59. And this is where we talked about the seeing, and here's where we come down to the flying, 255. That fulfills Matthew 24:24. These false prophets that are living on carrion, they can't understand the word, they can't get up there to receive the word, and they can't take the word when it's brought back to them. And just a little more explanation what these buzzards are like. He's flying, jumping up in the air, flopping his wings, but he just can't get high enough. In other words, he gets a lot of steam up, and he gets a lot of emotion up, and he gets a lot of things going for him, but he can't get to that bracket, that place where he is up there where the prophet is. But he just can't get high enough. He can't get, of course, past his denominational dogma. That's his trouble. He can't leave it alone. See, that's right. He can't reach high enough to get that fresh manna. He can eat the old manna that's down on the ground, the old dead rabbits that's been run a week ago, a month ago, or 40 years ago, and is contaminated. He can eat that and just gloat or rejoice over it and squawk and holler and carry on, jump up and fly like another eagle. He's anointed like another bird. He's a type of an eagle. See, there's a clean eagle and a dirty eagle. He's a buzzard. We know that he is. Sure he is. But he can't follow the genuine eagle. In other words, he can't get the truth. And there's no way he can say the same thing that the prophet says. But you notice that's what Paul admonished the people to say the same thing and to admit that there was a vindicated truth, as over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that's the original Pentecostal church. Pentecost never would admit that they were the Corinthian church. But they certainly are the Corinthian church. In the 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, Paul is speaking and concerning his own ministry, and he says in verse 36, what came the word of God out from you, or came it you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, they don't, of course, today believe that there would be a person of such vindication that would compare to the Apostle Paul. So therefore, Elijah could not possibly come and be received by such a people. See, he just can't do it. No, sir, his body isn't built for it. He's been eating carrion. Now, that's a peculiar statement there, because your physical body doesn't have a great deal to do with the mental. But you have to realize here that he's speaking of an individual, and every body of truth or disbelief error, so on, is built of individuals. And so, what you're looking at here is that this person, as a member of a body, being a body himself, has not been living on the revealed word, but he's been living on the word from which the life has gone out. And that's part of the thesis that Brother Branham brings here, that the life has moved on from the shucked or the Pentecostal era, the same as it left Catholicism, left Lutheranism, left Wesleyanism, now it's leaving Pentecostalism. So, what you see here is people individually comprising a body cannot possibly have a body which is going to get out of here by way of the rapture. They simply will not have it. See? He said, see, it won't be fresh meat, the fresh manna. It'd be something that Luther said, Wesley said, or Dr. So-and-so said. It won't be what Jesus said for this hour. Now, what is Jesus saying for this hour? Number one, we realize that there is a message for every age. There has to be. That's the book of Revelations, chapters 2 and 3. You can't get away from it. Also, in this message we are looking at, for every age, we come across some very strange scripture, which is the seals and the thunders, which have to be revealed at a certain hour just before the rapture. And also, we found in Matthew, the 12th chapter, that there was to be a something said by him that speaks from heaven, Jesus himself, that's going to shake down everything here upon earth. And furthermore, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says that the Lord is going to descend with a shout, which is a military command, which we know to be something that God is going to give to the church. And the question comes up, who is going to deliver this? Now, it can't be from the Catholics or the Lutherans or the Wesleyans or the Pentecostals, because they've had their day. They didn't have it. So it's got to be something at the end time. Now, the point is, who is going to bring it and who's going to believe it when it does come? That's what you're looking at here. These people are so filled with their own dead dogmas and creeds that there's no way that they can be receptacles of this which is to come. So they're comprising a body of death instead of a body of life. Because the end time ministry that we just designated in Scripture, the prophet Elijah, is to get you out of here as living members. So that's what he's talking about here. You're not going to get it on this because, look, if this could do it, it would have done it. It didn't do it. So it's got to be something else to get us out of here. So these people will not make the rapture, but somebody will make the rapture. Now let's go on. 256. Anointed ones. Christ in the last day. But the false teachers as false prophets. Notice how striking. Now I want you to compare this. We haven't got time to read it out. Matthew 24:24. And Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:8, Matthew 24:24 said, in the last days there come false Christs, false anointed ones, false prophets, and show signs and wonders exactly like the real ones. Now this is a deceit. They are correct in every way but the word. Now the question is this, because we saw that in Matthew 7, who is going to bring the correct word? See, that's what they refuse to look at. They say, well, hey, it's exactly like Tommy Osborne. When he saw what Brother Branham did, the voice said to him, he says it's a voice, inner voice, whatever it was, that's the way it was done in the Bible. You can do it too. Didn't strike him at all that this man had a message. And it still cannot strike him. Because he's still a Trinitarian. Now, it's very hard for people to understand that, but that's the way they do. Now he said, it's exactly like the real one. Now these are plural, like the singular real one. And shall deceive, almost deceive, the very elected. Now, how do you not be deceived? You check for an original. See what everybody is doing. How they conduct themselves. What is going on. And then see what started it. See, then when you see what started it, you know that's a person, you better compare the others to. And you notice they're false anointed because they won't follow the man that God gave as the leader. Remember Brother Branham's vision? God made you to be a leader. Now notice, 257, that was Jesus speaking. Here came Paul right behind him and said, now in the last days there come religious people having a form of godliness and lead silly women, led away with all kinds of worldly lusts. And they wonder and they say, why pick on those women? Oh, for goodness sakes. They just don't even see it. Lead silly women, laden with divers lusts, wait in the Bible. And the Jannes and Jambres, Matthew 24, false Christ, false anointed, doing signs and wonders to deceive the elected. Now, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these reprobates. Reprobates of the mind concerning the faith. Not a faith, the faith. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. You can't have two baptisms. Not one for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's one baptism, Jesus Christ. Is that right? Or see, a false baptism. Now, the great issue in Brother Branham's ministry is that there is one God and one only. And there's no such thing as eternal sonship. He said, as he said, the very word eternal is a travesty against the meaning of words. Adam Clark didn't believe in the eternal sonship and those old men of God. Some of the old timers were very much understanding. Now, you'll notice Brother Branham is quoting from Ephesians 4:4. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. And that's where it goes into a ministry that is to bring the church to perfection at the very end time. So this is exceedingly relevant to this hour when the whole body comes together to understand that there is one God who had a Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A oneness people get rid of one of them, and threeness put one more in there. And I don't understand it. There's no way I can see what they see. And, of course, there's no way they'll see what we see. 258. Notice, compare them together now when you get home. Notice Matthew 24, Jesus speaking, Paul and Timothy 3 and 8, many others. And now compare that, then put another scripture. Luke 17:30. Now he's putting that one when the Son of Man is revealed. And Malachi 4, that has to do with Elijah coming so that God will not utterly destroy. Cut the thing off and bring it to a safe and positive conclusion. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So you're looking at another prophet at the end time, at the time of 1730 and Malachi 4 and 2 Timothy 3 and 8 and 24 and 24 Matthew. That's what you're looking at. They withstood Moses. So William Branham, Elijah, will be withstood at this hour. The anointed word of the hour. So will these men, not man, men, anointed ones, resist the truth. In other words, they'll resist the actual revelation that the prophet brings to us at this time, which is necessary, or absolutely God would cut it all off. Now, this is, we've said this many, many times, people don't seem to grasp this. And the reason they don't grasp it is they try to put themselves in the place of God. Which by that I simply mean this. They talk back to God and say, now, hey, this Lord isn't necessary. We don't need it. What is all this talk about if Elijah doesn't come? My gracious, we've got Jesus Christ. We've got the blood. We're baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then what is all this talk about you cutting things off? And I said, what you got to do then to answer that question, which you only can use Scripture, and they don't believe the Scripture, you'll go back and ask yourself concerning Luke, the first chapter, if John was to go before the Lord God of Israel in the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was the Lord God of Israel, manifest in flesh, give me one reason why God needed John the Baptist. Ha! No reason. Except that's what God wanted. And that's what people don't want to acknowledge in this hour. What did God say? What did he show about it? You're not going to get people to change. So don't even try. You witness a couple times, forget it. You've more than done your job. If the gospel of Jesus Christ is so low in power and effectiveness that you've got to keep talking and talking and talking, believe me, there's nothing to it. I suppose God said, let them like, whoop, didn't do it that time. Tried, let them, whoop, didn't do that time. Oh, half a dozen times won't hurt. Well, you have to be ridiculous. The first time he said, let there be light, there was light. Nowhere that God is void of power. In other words, to bring itself to pass. And don't fool with people. Don't argue. Leave him be. The Bible says leave him be. Now notice, that was Jesus speaking. Here came Paul and so on. Now, we're down here to 260. Now I want to read this all first. In the very day that the Son of Man is revealed, Revelation 10:1-4. Now just a minute. That's Luke 17:30. In the very day that the Son of Man is revealed, Revelation 10:1-7, reading at home, the seven angels' message opening up the seals. What is it? Not the messenger is the Son of Man, but the messenger is revealing the Son of Man. Can you get it separated now? That's where it seems to be so hard for you. You see, not the Son of Man himself, but the seventh angel or the seventh messenger is revealing to the public the Son of Man because it's left the shuck. You can't organize it. It's the grain itself again. And in that day, Jannes and Jambres will withstand, anointed ones, make believers and unbelievers, the church formal and Pentecostals, stand up against the true grain. But let them alone. Their folly will be made manifest as theirs was. You understand now. Now watch. In the very day that the Son of Man is revealed, Revelation 10:1-7, read when you get home, the seventh angel's message opening up the seals. What is it? Not the messenger, or the angel of the Son of Man, but the messenger is revealing the Son of Man. Now, can you get it separated now? That's where it seems so hard for you, see? Not the Son of Man himself, but the seventh messenger is revealing to the public the Son of Man because it's left the shuck. You can't organize it. It's the grain itself again now. And he says here, they all stand up against the true grain. Now, in paragraph 259, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, the anointed word of the hour. Moses and the anointed word is one and the same. You cannot separate the messenger from the message. And especially since God is in the prophet, period. He was in the first prophet. He was in the second prophet, he was in the third prophet, and the fourth prophet, and the fifth prophet, and the 100th prophet, and the 120th, and the 10,000th if necessary. And not the baptism with the Holy Ghost either. To think that's entirely fallacious. So he'll be in the end time prophet. God will be in him. And he will be identified with his message. And he will be the anointed word or the anointed manifestation that God has for the people in that hour. And he will be the one who is revealing whatever God wants for that hour. And in the end time, the Son of Man is going to be revealed. And so that's what you're seeing here. What is it? Not the messenger is the Son of Man. William Branham was not the Son of Man. He was the messenger who revealed the Son of Man. Now let's look at the thought of Revelation here. How does he reveal him? Well, all right, we ask this question then. How does God reveal any part of his word? Because you see, he can't reveal that prophet unless he's there in the word. Well, all right, he interprets it or reveals it by bringing it to pass. So therefore, he's got to bring the prophet on the scene. Malachi 4:5. That manifestation is then explained by the prophet. Now, this is the appearing. For God not only appears in signs and wonders, as he did in Moses' day, but as in Moses' day, he makes himself visible with the pillar of fire. We had the picture taken. Now, I want to go to the book of Luke, chapter 10:13-24, and I want to read it because this is important on Revelation. I think it might be helpful to us. Woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Now those are heathen cities. But it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despises you, despises me. He that despises me despises him that sent me. Now there's your hookup right there. Now that happened today with the prophet. And anyone that takes the true word of God from that prophet as a witness and a testimony, those that despise it despise Almighty God himself. So that's what you call the vicarage and the trickle down. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said, unto them I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Now listen, all things are delivered unto me and my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. There you see your process of revelation. Now, in that, the Son will reveal. But notice he said, he that heareth you heareth me. So therefore, the complete revelation of Godhead is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead, fullness of the attributes of the Godhead bodily. And he could honestly say, he that hath seen me hath seen God. Why? Because it was the life of God that took on protein. It took on a structure. And nobody can see life. Nobody can see spirit. The only reason you can see life, which is spirit, is because it always adopts to a form. It has been given a quality whereby it can transform itself into physical through chemical operation of protein and substances that are required for it. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings desire to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and those things which you hear and have not heard them. So he's telling them right there, the revelation came by seeing and hearing. And the same thing is right today. See? What is it then? The messenger is revealing the Son of Man in the same way that Moses did. A face-to-face confrontation. The demonstration that this was the vindicated one. Because the words of a man will not do what this man's words are doing. Therefore, God is in the prophet proving himself, and what the prophet says becomes then a complete revelation. You have now seen, you have now heard, and your hands have handled. You're right back to perfect fellowship in Christ. Okay, let's look at Galatians, the first chapter. And we read verses 15 to 16. But when it pleased God who separated me, my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, not to me, but in me. A true prophet. That I might preach him among the heathen. A vindicated messenger. God in him, a prophet. Doing the things as Paul himself said in 1 Corinthians. That he never came preaching something that wasn't backed up. He came in the demonstration and power of Almighty God, but not in the wisdom of men. And gave them a full revelation of God and said, you'll never get it unless you got the Holy Ghost to give it to you. Then you got to be elected to get the Holy Ghost. Do you see how it operates? See? Now he said, you seem to can't separate this, you people of the tabernacle. But he said, that's where it seems so hard for you. You see, not the Son of Man himself. In other words, not Jesus Christ in the flesh. No. What did he say about Jesus? He said, if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will now do here in the form of the Holy Spirit what he did when he was here in the flesh. That is, his own flesh. Then he turned around and said he had more success in my ministry than he had in his own flesh. In his ministry in his own flesh. He had more success in his ministry in me as a man in my flesh than he had in his own. See, now not the Son of Man himself, but the seventh angel, the seventh messenger, is revealing to the public the Son of Man. You see? Now watch carefully. You cannot separate God. You can't separate the Son of Man from his own ministry, his message. So this becomes 1 Thessalonians 4:16. But he uses another person's voice. Okay. Revealing to the public the Son of Man because it's left the shuck. Now what has left the shuck? The life has left the shuck. Now then, where is the life demonstrated to be? Now, he's not talking about your life and my life as being born again. Where is the life itself that's been coming up? They made a Lutheran branch. They made a Wesleyan branch. And now there's an end time branch. Where is it? It's in the prophet. See? Now that life that left. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, you can't organize it. It's the grain itself again. Now, let's look at that. What is he actually telling us here? Okay, the grain again. If it's grain again, then it had to start as grain. So, if it started as grain, what starts as grain? Okay, remember, the seven church ages were built on a platform. From Ephesus to Laodicea are seven Gentile ages. The little group, the little space of time from 33 to about 53 A.D. And notice, if the gospel went at 53 to the Gentiles, notice how perfect it is that the Pentecostal age started in 1906. In other words, we've got just a few years in there. Like the 50 years. Just that little 50-year space we're looking at in there, see? that's and then you'd have 100 years and on. That little space in there was cut out and not granted to anybody. Doesn't make too much sense, just a little point of view there. Okay, we're looking at the Gentile age starting about 53, somewhere in that particular area, A.D. And Brother Branham said that little space that the Jews were in to turn the gospel over to the Gentiles, formed a platform. So, to look at the life going back to grain, you're going to have to consider what the first church age was. The first church age was an apostle, prophet, and the pillar of fire, and a revealed and vindicated word. Now, if you're going to go back to what was there planted, which was the grain, you've got to come back to that again. And that's what we got. We're right back. And so where was the life? The life was there, like in the pillar of fire with the Apostle Paul. And as Brother Branham said, the prophet veiled the pillar of fire when the word was in him. And he was God to the people. When the word was given to the people, the pillar of fire left him and stood outside him. And Moses was Moses again. And Paul was Paul again. And notice how Paul put it. It was Christ in him revealing, and was the same Christ in him revealing to the people. So we have a complete picture here of the end time. This is what I see. Now it also types Moses perfectly. So that you've got Moses and Paul and Elijah, which is William Branham in this hour. Now he says you can't organize it. It's the grain itself again. What does it mean by that? It simply means the grain is going to take over. It's gone back. There's no more left. How are you going to organize it? You can't do it. Now, it says, in that day, Jannes and Jambres will withstand. Anointed ones, make believers and unbelievers, the church formal and Pentecostals, stand up against the true grain. In other words, they'll stand up against what was the original. Now, Brother Branham's own testimony, which we believe, in his vision, he's up there in the beyond the curtain of time. He said, I preached what Paul preached, and they said, we're resting on that. Amen. See? Because you can't deviate. You can't deviate. And if William Branham had the same earmarks as Paul, and has a demonstration effective to prove that he's vindicated, then you have something absolutely genuine. And all men should come to it. He said, let them alone. Their folly will be manifest as Jannes and Jambres was. You understand now. So, all right. The life has left the stalk. Now, the message of the hour is, he is here, as Brother Branham said, and I will reveal him to you. Okay. To withstand the prophet is to withstand God. Now, let's go to Matthew 23 again. And I want to show you something here in continuity. Verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some you shall kill and crucify. Now, I want to just make a comment here. You notice there's three kinds of people here in a ministry, like there's three kinds of believers. There's believer, make believer, unbeliever. So there's the prophet. He brings the word. The wise man is the man that can teach the word. You look these up in root meanings. And the scribe is the one who can simply tell you. He can't add to it or rewrite it or hand you a tape or a book. Now, all of those three are necessary. But you notice what's going on amongst the ministry. There are those who say, well, we just play tapes and hand out books. And there are those who don't believe there's some people like who can play tapes and hand out books. There's always a hodgepodge. But God says, I send all three of them. And some you'll scourge in your synagogues and first in city, that upon you may come all the righteous bloodshed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily send you, all these things come upon this generation. And they say, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets, and stone them ascended, how often to gather thy children together, even as hen gather chickens under wings, but you would not. Now, how does he do it? By sending prophets, wise men, and scribes. That's Ephesians, the 4th chapter also. And when they turn it down, by turning down, what? The prophet. The one that God sends, the messenger. Behold, your house is left desolate. What? There's nobody living in it anymore. The life has moved on. Catholic Church died when Luther pulled out. Absolutely died. It was a stinking mess for a long time, but it died. When Wesley pulled out, the Lutherans died. When Pentecostals pull out, Wesleyans died. When we pull out, the life goes on, Pentecost is dead. The house is left desolate. Because he says, this is how I gather you. And at the end time, Elijah's got to come, or there's utter destruction. And that means the Gentile. Because destroy is to destroy. And the Gentile doesn't want, oh, give it to the Jew. Well, go ahead and give it to the Jew. Die. If you want to die, that's all I mean, die. You'd say, well, I don't have much compassion. You think I'm crazy? Why should I die? Because they die. People want to go to hell. Why should I go to hell? You get mad at somebody? Why should I get mad? Because you're mad at somebody. I'll do my own madding. Getting angry. I don't go to hell or go to heaven because of somebody else. I do it on my own. I'm not all chopped off fire to see somebody up there. I want to get there myself. In the meantime, it'd be nice to see somebody. I'm not that ignorant. I'm not one person makes an entire body. I'm a part of the body. But I want to show you something here. Don't be foolish, brother, sister. If I say unto you, you'll henceforth not see me, till you say, blessed be the coming of the Lord. Then notice in here. He went out of the temple, and it said, not one stone left on another. And in the third verse, what shall be the sign of thy presence? And he answered and said, those false Christs. So there you are. Always the false come after the prophet. See? They come against God. 261. In the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, Revelation 10. Now remember, seventh Laodicean church age, the sounding of that angel, when that church has dominated and become a church age, when it's become a Pentecostal organization, when the messenger to that age comes, he rebukes them. What was each messenger? What was Martin Luther? A rebuke to the Catholic. What was Wesley? A rebuke to the Lutheran. What was the Pentecost? A rebuke to the others. Where is the life gone now? To the rebuker. See, that's what starts it. Wave an organization. What does he do? He sows a seed for that hour to bring the light. No more shuck its grain. What is it? A rebuke to the Pentecostals to fulfill the scripture of this hour. Now, what is Jesus in this hour? The judge. Matthew 3. Fan is in the hand, thoroughly purges his floor. Gather wheat in the garner. Well, you can't gather wheat until you purge the floor. Now, I ask you a question. Where is the floor purged? In heaven? Hogwash. It's on earth. Where is the wheat? On earth. So where is he? On earth. Where is the judge? On earth. What's he doing? Separating. What's doing it? Gifts? No me. What's doing it? Word. Message of the hour. See? The word that was buried way back there has risen in his full strength and power and become a rebuke to everybody. Rebuked us too. The Bible says that I love who I love, I chasten, therefore take my rebuke. Repent. Change your minds. George 62. Notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts, but when he begins to declare his message. See, the first pole healing, second pole prophesying, third pole the opening of the word. The mystery is revealed. Okay? The first two poles vindicate him for the third pole. Now, what does he say the third pull is? Why, he said the third pull is the opening of the Word. What was the opening of the Word? The seven seals. So don't get mixed up here. Now he said the seventh, he said it's not open to the public, but above he said the Son of Man is revealing to the public. The prophet is revealing the Son of Man to the public. So he's showing you who is here, the hour of the Son of Man. Elijah is here. The seals are open. He's going to discourse on them. They turn it down. He reveals that to the public. Now, what is not to reveal to the public? The second coming isn't revealed. Nobody can do that. That's up to God himself, as far as I can understand that. I could be wrong. Remember, the third pull of the opening is those seals to reveal the hidden truth that has been sealed in the Word. Do you see it? It's then, in that day, when this thing is to take place, that Jannes and Jambres, the impersonators, will appear again. Just like they did when Moses appeared with the original Word to say it. They appear to impersonate it just exactly right. Now you see Matthew 24:24. Now what he's telling you here is really very, very simple. This all has to happen at the end time. And it's concurrent. It's as simple as ABC. But because people don't believe it, they miss it. It's not that God doesn't fulfill it and God doesn't manifest it, but he does. See, anointed ones. What's the picture? God, prophet, false prophets. God, prophet, false prophets. That's right. 263. Now there's three things we're going to say before we close. This is it. I want to listen real close now as we close. Three things, remember. First, the world is in a Sodom condition. Jesus said it would happen. Look at the perversion. Are men trying to act? Are women trying to act like men? Are men trying to act like women? Sissified. Rotten, filthy, low-down, devil-possessed. Notice homosexuality now has become a spirit. It's an actual devil, and they don't know it. The Bible said that would happen. That's where it's at. Okay, all three, now all of these things going on at the same time. At what time? The time the prophet is here. And the false prophets are here. Secondly, it's in that hour, according to Scripture, that Jannes and Jambres appears. Thirdly, it's at the same hour the Son of Man is to be revealed, and he is revealed. 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord descended to shout. Luke 21:25-28. That's the appearing of the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. See? Now, Billy Graham can well know the first one, but I don't think he's got a clue to the second and the third. There's your believer, make-believer, and unbeliever. There is a genuine word standing out, vindicated. There is a make-believer impersonating it, and there's the unbeliever rejecting. So what does he say? The genuine word vindicated stands there. The make-believer comes along and impersonates it. The unbeliever rejects it. Number one, the prophet vindicating, bringing the truly revealed word that has been vindicated is there. The impersonators, false prophets come by, make-believers, and they bring their own word because they got signs and wonders to duplicate. Third, people just reject it. You said when this takes place, these false anointed ones, not right when they started. Moses just let them alone, for he could do no more about it. He could only say what you were saying. You told him to call flies, then they called them. That's the anointed ones called the flies. You told him to turn water to blood, then the false anointed did it. Moses only carried out word by word as you said, but then you were the one who made the folly manifest it. Now let's watch something here. He's getting at something here to warn you and to show you this. Look. Now here's God saying, Moses, go on down there and make the water blood. So he said, make the water blood. The false anointed came by and said, make the water blood. Very nice. Okay, cast down the rod. Okay. You make fire come, or this, that, another, make fleas come, finally make fleas come. And you know, God just stood by and said, wasn't that nice of God? That makes the whole thing like a charade. Here Moses would go down there and do what God says, and he told him, and these guys come right behind. Well, that makes God look pretty stupid. Well, really, doesn't it? That makes Moses look stupid. Makes them look very stupid. It makes us look very stupid. You get the picture? God hiding. God hiding. Nobody's catching except the elect. Nobody can catch it. Would you catch it outside somebody had told you and warned you and drilled you and stressed you? Nobody would get it. And the only reason you get it is because you got something inside to get it. The others don't have it. But look at the picture. It was a schmozzle. Yeah. It didn't do too hot in Paul's day. It never does too hot. How many prophets did old Elijah have? Nobody but himself. 7,000 adherents who didn't adhere very well. Baal had hundreds. He had no trouble at all. So what I'm trying to, what he's trying to show you here is, look, this whole thing, except it was 100% from this word, would be very, very ridiculous. Because even from the word, it's very poor. There's none of the pizzazz to it. None of the big show to it. It's just missing. I hope you catch the picture now. See? See? So that's what we're looking at. Now, Father, you're God yet. This same word said that this would happen in the last days. Many honest persons, as we said last Sunday, putting their hands to the ark upon a new cart and not the shoulders of Levites, have fallen dead, dead in trespasses and sin, argue against your own consciences. Many a minister sitting in his study reads that word and changes the page quick to keep from having to blast out. He knows he'll lose his social standing with the public, with his church, with the denomination if he does. God help us never to do that. Cleanse our hearts, Lord. Okay? For all the filth of the word, Lord, I stand ready for cleansing. I stand ready with this church. And with all this listening in, whoever will listen to this tape, I stand, Lord, ask for cleansing. Lord, take me to your potter's house. Every denomination, I'm going down to 276. Every denomination, Lord, every man or woman, I can't ask you to bless the denomination when I know you're against it, but I can only say, Lord, if you have any of your sheep among them, may they hear this tape. May they hear it, Lord, and understand with the understanding you give them, and may they come out and receive you. May they not be deceived by the blind tradition of this day. May they not try to eat at something that was a carcass another day. May they take the word. That's the way the Pharisees crucified it, or they were taking the carcass for another day. 268. Out in the land where this... Did I read 64 ahead of 63? I guess I did. That's all right, though. Get these pages turned over sometimes. Here's what I really want to get to, page 63. Now, he said, before his prayer, let us bow our heads. Out in the land where this message is going from the east coast to west, from California to New York, down into the south, into the north, into missions and so on, wherever it's going, in this tabernacle, we are poor, we don't have these great big flowery things and television casts and so on. We're just trying to do the best we can. But all that the Father give me will come. Here's what I really want to get to. This is the important part, although the prayer is good. Now, before we actually read this, Brother Branham is asking the people like to be in reverence and prayer before God, because he asked them to bow their heads. Now, here's what I read so many, many times, and you know I read it. Now, I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice. Now, in other words, Brother Branham disclaims any originality for this message or any events that have transpired at this particular time. In other words, Matthew 24:24 is under complete power and sovereignty of God as he delivers it. And notice, all the emphasis is on the third pole and not the first two, which are the healings and the prophecies. It's all in this point. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I want to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declared and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down there. I was the only one standing there when he appeared. Now, I want you to notice here, as Brother Branham said this, this is actually a manifested appearing that the people saw, which would be a reflection that they saw through. I was only one standing when he appeared, 1933. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things and happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice he used. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It wasn't what I knew, it's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It wasn't me. It wasn't the seventh messenger. Oh no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. Now, in this thought here, it wasn't what I knew, it's just what I surrendered myself to that he spoke through. This, to me here, although true, he's speaking this message, not from his own mind, from what God gave him. But I believe, basically, this is what he is saying here, that whatever God told me to say, I just surrendered myself to say it, knowing that he would back me up in performing it. Because he said it wasn't the seven messenger, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. And that means what he did here in the spirit through a man is the same what he did back there in the flesh. It wasn't an angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. Now he's talking distinctly concerning the word only. It's not a man, it's God. The messenger was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. His words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Now let's go back to Hebrews, the 12th chapter again, because I want to get that on purpose. So we don't muff it. Now, verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn from him. Now they got the word speaketh, but that's not necessarily true. That's in italics. But a speaketh, the one from heaven that's speaking. That's what you're looking at. And what is the one from heaven? Not here in the form of a human body, but here in the form of a pillar of fire as the Holy Spirit. And this one is why he says here, the angel was not the Son of Man, he was the messenger from the Son of Man. That one, the Holy Spirit. The Son of Man is Christ. In other words, the manifestation that you see and the hour of one of the three sons, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, you're looking at God manifesting in this particular hour. That's the one that you're feeding on. In other words, you are getting directly your sustenance from God. He is giving you his truth. So he's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. Now, Brother Branham is categorically dismissing himself from the picture. And that's what you have to see. You're not feeding on the words of man. Not at all. Not William Branham. Because he said, I have no more to do with this than nothing. I'm only a voice, that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew, but I surrendered myself to it, that he spoke through me. Now this goes for what he said, thus saith the Lord, and this also goes in the same sense for what he brought us as the word. It has to. Because it cannot be a product of his mind. If it were a product of his mind, then this is not the life, the original seed. The original seed is over here in Galatians, the first chapter. I can just get it here. Now, Paul says here, verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Okay, 11th verse. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's what you're looking at here. Absolutely a complete revelation given by the same process as was given the Apostle Paul. This time, it is the revelation of the Word. And it is that speaking from heaven, or that one from heaven, that Paul is talking about, what you're getting here. And you are not feeding on the words of man, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. In other words, what we saw here demonstrated of the word of Almighty God was brought to pass in this hour and proven to be that word. It was brought by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then we're feeding on that. And that, of course, was the hour of the Son of Man. When Jesus himself said, you're going to want to see the days of the Son of Man, and you won't see it till way, way down the road. And when you see it, he said, that's the time of the separation and when the rapture takes place. So here's what we're looking at today, brother, sister. We're feeding on the unfailing body word, the Son of Man. And he said, a man's word is going to fail. But he said, this word is not going to fail. And that's exactly the truth. Now, watch the thought. A man, his words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of God. Now, Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. And we'll see something here that's very, very perfect. Beginning at the first verse, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now watch, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. The word is sacrifice more than service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, a complete metamorphosis, by the renewing of your mind. Now what are you to present? You are to present your body. To what end? For transformation. How does it come? By way of the mind. What comes to the mind? Words, in this particular instance. Words that you have seen demonstrated to be vindicated. So this is what you're feeding on. That's why he said those eagles, false anointed ones, that feed on what they feed on will die because the life has passed out of it. It's rotten. It won't work anymore. Now, I know a lot of people don't like a prophet to talk that way. But listen, the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word will pass away till all be fulfilled. So therefore, when a word of God is fulfilled, it passes away. You simply cannot get Jesus Christ to be born again in the flesh. You cannot get him to come back at Pentecost and do a Pentecost. It won't work. You can't get him to come in a pillar of fire and give the word to Paul. It's already been given. Now, but you can get him, according to Scripture, to come back and give the revelation that hasn't been given. Now, Paul's has passed away. We don't throw it away in the garbage. Say no. We don't throw away Moses. We leave it here. Why? Because it's illustrative. It serves to show how he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, with no changes. Now look, this word of Elijah coming, if this was indeed Elijah, is finished, it's over. Gone. Oh, he'll come back in the resurrection. And if he's going to be Elijah there in a special ministry, that's up to God. I know nothing of it. And I leave it be until that hour, because this is that hour we're living in. Now, what is it? The ministry has gone, but the word we're living on hasn't gone. And the life in that word, which is to transform us, is here. And it starts in the mind, like Dave brought out the greatest battle ever fought. And it's a battle of the mind. Now then, what is Satan fighting for? He's fighting for your mind because your mind controls your body. Why? Because he doesn't want a rapture. And the mystery of the rapture is out. It's the answer to the devil. What is it? The mystery of the rapture. The Lord descended with a shout. Never mind the voice of the archangel. That's the resurrection. Listen, the resurrection, at this point, I don't care that about it. Because that's not what it's about. It's a shout. And this is what's going on. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Begin to see it. That's the chapter on the resurrection. And Paul is speaking here. About, they said, well, is everybody going to die so everybody gets a resurrection? He said, no. I'm going to show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, where the trumpet shall sound. What's the last trumpet? The last church age messenger. Revelation 10 and 7. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. Now that's not the trumpet call to the rapture, the assembly. This is previous to the resurrection. Because there's a mystery about us who are going to get a change without dying. And the dead shall raise incorruptible. For this corruptibility must put on incorruptibility. Now the word put on is an inner garment. So what you're looking at here is you've got to have something for that inner garment to get you in a resurrected form. What is it? Shout. What do you guys look at it? First Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. It's very, very simple. Once the prophet opened the door, it would be terrible without the prophet opening the door. Once the door is open, well, man, there's nothing to do. Just walk right through. Verse 13, I would not have you in your brethren concerning them which are asleep, that you sore not as others which have no hope. Now they're standing there, and they're soaring, and they say, we got no hope. He said, you're wrong. You got hope. Now we're standing here. And we've got the hope. That the dead that left us, like Brother Branham and Brother Bill Down, different people like Brother Neville, we're going to see him pretty quick now. Now he said, watch, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. He'll be in the second part of the first resurrection. For this we say unto you that are standing here sorrowing, because people have gone away, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall in no way take any precedence over them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's for us. That's the message. That's the military command. That's the putting in the church in order over here in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, about verse 20 in there. At that time, at the time of the first fruits, the presence, there come forth a message, putting the church in order, getting us in shape to get away from here. Now, I can say this to anybody. And they say, well, now you tell me, what grounds do you base it on? I base it on the grounds that a vindicated prophet said so. I got his message. Well, they say, I don't believe that. They don't have to believe it. Nobody has to make them believe anything. They do what they want to believe. But here it is, what's going on. You're feeding on that. And here's what's happening to you, whether you know it or not. Some of you sitting here, I believe you'll be in that group, ready to take out of here, being immortalized. The Son of Christ having risen with healing his wings. What's happened, that life in the Word is now becoming the life of the very cells of your body, so you're building a new body around that. You've got everything right there. It's going to happen in the atoms, the Bible says so. It's going on. Everything you need to put you in the rapture is here right now. The prophet said it, and that thus saith the Lord. Now, 2:7, if you haven't fully fed on every word to give yourself strength to fly above all these denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it while we pray? In other words, he said, look, you can have what it takes. Now, Father, this is a hard saying. I read that prayer there. Okay, we don't read the prayer again, which is fine. I'm going to turn on to page 67. I want to finish this tonight. Now, he said to the people there, he doesn't want them to disagree with their brethren. Now, not that we disagree with your brothers, to be different. Now, he's preaching what he always preaches. I'm not trying to be different. I'm not trying to separate myself. I've got to be loyal to what I believe I have received from Almighty God by vindication, and it's right here in the Scripture. It fits in the Scripture, therefore I will keep it. Many of you here might be Trinitarian preachers. We don't want to be angry with you. So I'm not mad at you. We love you. And if we didn't, and I didn't believe that, I'd never leave this church till I got on my knees and said, God, make me right. In other words, I've got to love them. I don't want that arrogant, selfish spirit mixed up with mine. I want my spirit to be pure and clean, brotherly love, holy with the Holy Ghost. Sure, you want to win them. Now, if someone does anything wrong to me, that's all right. Though I might have the right to get back at them, I don't want that in my life. No, I want to have love. I want to be ready to correct with love that absolutely answers out yonder to us. And Brother Branham proved that he did it. I don't mean to be different. Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Christian, wherever you are. I don't say these things be different to be arrogant with you. If I did, to be a hypocrite and should be down here at this altar praying through to God. But I say it is because of love that I see where you're going. Now, I don't say this in myself and saying, I'm presuming. I give you, thus saith the Lord, that it is the truth. And I love you for those things. God bless you. And he dismisses the meeting with prayer. Now, we're just going to let it go with that. And you can see for yourself that this was one of Brother Branham's greatest sermons, one of his most powerful ones, and from where I stand tonight, I'm a little bit concerned that too many people are a little more taken up with the false anointed in the sense that they're looking around at people who might qualify as false anointed when there's really no problem. It's all over. You know, one person has to be there as the true one. The others simply are imitators. That true one will bring a message different from what preceding messages have been, or it was foolish for God to send him. Right. Why would you send for the same old tired message? Why would you? Look, if I got a newspaper on Monday morning and it had all the news, and on Tuesday morning I got the same newspaper, it'd be very stupid for the man to have bothered to publish Tuesday morning's paper and given to me when I already had Monday morning's, had the same news. And that's what you're looking at here. But as long as the people will not accept the fact that this is the last hour and this is a juncture period, I don't think you can even get them to even think for 1 minute that God would even begin to send a prophet. Because there's too much complacency. They think, well, yeah, we know things are going to happen. We've been told for a long time. And all these little things in there that you people talk about, to us they're peripheral. Because the main thing is get right with God. And we know we're right with God. So therefore everything is all right. Now you see, that's where Israel stood. Now I know that people will say, well now, hey, just a minute, that's that bunch of Jews. You want to know about those Jews? Let me find out about those Jews. Let me read the book of Romans. Then we can close with this. I want to take a look at the Jews. Ninth chapter. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not my conscience also, bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sore in my heart. For I could wish myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelite, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all God, blessed forever, and they still died. Now, if you want anything sounding better than that concerning you, I just say one thing. You're mental. I know what's wrong with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm friendly. And I say this, you know, as nice as I can. But really, I look at you and I say, my God, you're spiritually insane. Do you hear what I read? The kinsmen of Christ after the flesh. We're supposed to be his body. They supplied it. Israelites. Pertaineth the adoption? The placing of sons? The glory? The covenants? Their own covenants, and God gave them the power to give them to give the word. They served God. They had the promises. They had it all. They're wiped out. Now you tell me, what have you got more? You got no more. Because the end time ends in a great deception and delusion and a falling away. And who's going to do it? Not Mao Zedong. No. Not Mubarak. He'll be one of those out there total disbelief. It's these Christians. About 1 billion of them. And there's going to be raised up amongst them an antichrist so tremendous, a great priest, the Pope, with the full influence of this going on now. The credentials that God allows him to fool the people. And the whole world is going to wonder after the beast. And these people right here, the Christians, just got the same thing Israel had. They crucified the Son of God and walked on. So don't ever think for 1 minute, brother, sister, that this message, Brother Branham, is wrong. It's 100% right. We're going to get your eyes on the big thing, which is, look, vindication is over. Don't worry about it. Just think of one thing, getting to this word. Because that's what a prophet is all about, and that's what this message is all about, a correct word. Now, we've taken a lot of time about the mechanics and all, but the correct word, we've had a lot of correct word, the tape on the rapture is a great message on doctrine. Future home of the earthly bride, all of these great messages Brother Branham gave us, based upon this, there's going to be somebody, not somebody, there's going to be multitudes out there that'll just come right against everything the prophet said, and they say, look, we've got just as much vindication. For just as much. You say, well, I know it's hard to see. Once you see this, it's hard to wonder why people don't see it, but they will not see it, because that is the way it's supposed to go. So, This continues this series for the time being. The Lord bless you. Let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Gracious, kind Heavenly Father, again we praise and thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. And Lord, we know that this is a great, important message. We understand, Lord, that the enemy would try to take it away from us, getting many, many things to come in and draw us away. Some signs over here, some wonders over here, some dreams over here. Maybe, sure, all those things are there, but Father, we know we've had a vindicated prophet, and now, Lord, we just want to rest and relax in it. And we don't want to move from it, we just want to stay with it. And all we can say is, Lord, now that we know this is the truth, feed our souls forevermore this bread of life, this body word, which is Christ, we're feeding on, and which shall put us, if we don't die, into immortality. For we know that you have risen over us with healing in your wings, immortality, and there are those who will be immortal by the grace of Almighty God. And Lord, increase our love of God in our hearts toward each other and toward all fellow men, that we'd like the prophet. We would not hold anybody in disrepute and disesteem them, Lord, but rather just treat them in love and kindness and consideration, knowing, Lord, that they are not our enemies, we are not their enemies, that this is that which is spoken of by you, Lord, must surely come to pass. And we can see your hand in it, for you said, Lord, concerning even Pharaoh, I raised him up for this very hour, that I might show my power and my glory. Lord, may we then therefore be able to stand as the elect of God with the word of the Lord in our hearts and our minds, the Spirit of God and the right attitude and the right motivation, all these things that should be ours, Lord, as never before, because we know each time we finish a message off, we put word upon word, piled word upon word, and therefore life upon life. We believe that, Lord. We've got to believe it. And Lord, each day we're just one day nearer home. The shadows of this evening are falling, Lord. There's one day less to roam. We know that. We know the twilight settled down upon the earth. We know, Lord, after this little night is over, day breaks. It'll never be night again as we know it today. So, Father, we just thank you then for what you've done for us, your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your kindness. And may we, Lord, as never before, serve you in spirit and in truth. And unto you we shall ascribe the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. Let's sing, take the name of Jesus with you.